It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now, you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
Word.
Wait a minute. You took your hat off to get a class tonight?
No, man.
You're going to get serious, boy. You took your hat off.
No, man. You know about that word? The hat got to come off. That's instinct for me.
Maybe it's going to shine a little bit, too.
Hey, I'm more like George Jefferson right now. It's a little bunch of fuzz. There ain't no shining.
I was thinking about cutting mine back out, but maybe in a few weeks.
Right. All right, fellas. Let's jump into this thing, man. I don't think I shocked anybody about what I'm going to talk about. Josh said he knew it. I'm sure. I know Rick. I see your little eyes arching like he tried to ask somebody for their phone number or something back in the day. Anyway. and the reason I really felt like that night when we was talking, and it was crazy how God worked, because it was saying that, because y'all were saying you live, but I've never done anything to go live. And for about 10, 15 minutes, it was saying it was live on my end also, but it was never a video or nothing like I was live. So it wasn't meant, because we weren't on the same page. Tonight, I hope I do a better job of really, because I think, I talked to Josh about it, I don't think we necessarily talk about what that means. So I want to really, really dive into it a little deeper the best I can, and hopefully we come out with a better understanding. So I'm gonna read that Matthew 5:14 and through 16, and then I'm gonna jump into this. I got too many numbers on my phone. Shut up, Rick.
He come with this foolishness already.
You know, man. We're gonna have to up it up for some of the guys tonight, because I'm gonna be a little silly. Anyway, here we go. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. It says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it on a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And that's the premises. I looked it up. Josh gave me the correct number, because it's a bunch. It's 32 verses in different throughout the Bible that talks about light and being the light. And so one of the things that stuck with me a lot about that night, we had some guys saying, I'm gonna chill until God says otherwise and send me, where that's over with, because he got 32 verses that says go. 32 verses that says go. And then I think the other thing that stuck with me, it was almost taken out of context, like I was saying, going to minister and going to preach. No, the light is nothing about opening your mouth, honestly. You know what I'm saying? The light is about the stuff that I intake, my time, my relationship, the change. What's they call it? Your greatest witness is a changed life. You know what I mean? If Big Five do too much talking, God can't get the glory from me talking too much.
That's right.
My greatest witness is my life that's changed, because I've been such a popular person and done so many wrong things that me glorifying the kingdom speaks tons more than me trying to convince somebody with my words. Because the closer people are to you at times, I have to, and I'd be like, man, you look so much different, but it's hard because I still look just like the same dude that worked. So our greatest witness is a changed life. And that's what the foundation of being the light really is. And I'm really glad that we had that discussion a couple of weeks ago, because it really, man, made me do some digging. But before I dive into anything else, Anybody want to kind of expound on what being the light really means to them in their own perspective?
I got you. The wrong that we all did before we got saved.
Right.
And the people that know us back, knew us back then. Mm-hmm. After we've been converted and our life have changed. Right. It's not necessarily what we say. It's what we do and how we live that people watch and notice the God in you. And to them, the light shine from the Lord that they see a difference. To us, we still the same. We look the same. But when somebody look at us and we don't do the same things we used to do, and you know, we don't go to places we used to go, like we talked about the other night, mm-hmm. then God gets the glory because we didn't change ourselves.
Amen.
If we could have, we'd have changed ourselves a long time ago.
Yeah. Right.
But it had to be the Lord that changed us. So that's why you heard me say a few weeks ago that we're walking epistles. The life that we live, let it speak for us.
Amen.
That's what we say every day. But the way we live, the way we treat each other, the way we treat our friends, our family, our wives, knowing that the Bible said that our neighbors, near and far, mm-hmm. as ourselves. So that's why you hear me talk about love so much. We got to love everybody. You can't pick and choose.
Right.
You just yeah. might pick and yeah. choose the wrong one. So, but I let somebody else speak.
That's good, Brother Robert, because I think a lot of times, I know me personally, until recently, I always heard about the light, and I never really spent a bunch of time in that one particular thought process. But in the world that we live in now, compared to thousands of years ago,
mm-hmm.
well, it's more important for me for let my light shine because I'm all over the place. I lived in Memphis. I've lived in California. I've lived in Raleigh. I've lived a lot of places. So as a believer,
mm-hmm.
to do his will, which is to share the gospel, being the light is the foundation of how we do that. But, mm-hmm. but before I start sharing and anything and ministering to anybody, someone got to look at me and say, hey, there's something different about that guy.
That's right.
So I think some of the struggle, though, in our community where we're from, Rick really popular, all us popular in where we from, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I think we have to be intentional about being the light at home. You know what I'm saying? Everybody I met in Greenville, hey, he cool guy, you know, love the Lord, this. It's not that hard.
That's right.
It's not hard for me to be the light amongst believers, and we study the word together. And that's why I mentioned that about the ball game, because if I'm really real about my walk, if I'm really dedicated to my walk, when I go there, if I go there, and most of the people don't see the difference in me, I got to go back to the mirror when I get to the house and say, hey.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, them dudes, man, offer me bootleg and stuff. They, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like it's almost a chance for God to see really where we at too by being the light. And I might not be the light if like I think I am. And like you said, that lampstand, if I'm always hidden,
that's right.
How do I know where I stand in my walk? Yeah. Anybody else want to touch that definition of what light is to them and their perspective?
Well, I hit you. I'm going to have to take a page out of Jerome's book and come from a different angle.
You drawing.
Okay. No, seriously, think about this for a second. How can you see the light in the daylight?
Right.
So, in order for the light to shine, there has to be darkness around.
Mm-hmm.
And as the light, and like you everybody illustrated, it's not per se what you do,
mm-hmm.
it's per se what you show.
Amen. That's the light.
And it's all about us. And sometimes it don't require us to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if our light shines,
yeah.
people gravitate to things that are shiny.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, either way you look at it, if you see something over in the, you at a beach and you see something in the sand that looks shiny, you automatically walk over there to go look at it.
Good. Yeah.
Just out of curiosity.
Exactly. So when you talk about the light, that's how our light should be. It should be something that arouses everyone's curiosity. to make them want to go see what it is.
Right, right. And if the light, now I don't know if it's two, it could be two different lights. If the light that my folks see when I'm at home in my home community, if they still see the light of Big Five, I gotta go back to the drawing board.
Exactly.
Everybody, some people don't want to see it, right? And that's okay too. But if the majority still see Big Five, then something is off. Something is off. I'm either studying and not living it, or I'm not studying enough. Something I'm not processing what I'm studying. But
now on a different side of that, Todd, you got some people that don't want to see the new Five.
Exactly.
They want to keep that old Five,
right?
But yep, they're in denial that who Five is now.
Right. And see, that's why I understand the importance of grace.
Okay. Exactly.
I love that brother or sister enough to give them that.
Exactly.
Because the truth is, there are times where I don't understand the difference between Big Five and what God is doing, because when some things he does in our life is just like, wow, I feel so undeserving that it makes you question, like wow, like, can you actually love me? You know what I'm saying? Can you actually love Big Five, the guy that done all this crap to this extent? And so that's why I can offer someone the grace when they say, hey, man, I'm gonna need this. I had a dude tell me that I'm gonna need to see a little more. He told me that last week.
Really?
I've been watching your Bible studies. I'm gonna need to see a little more. I said, hey, keep watching.
But see that right there is one of the things, and I have to call it what it is. That's his ignorance.
It is.
Because he don't have to see. If you don't see it in everything we doing, in every conversation we have, from you to Todd, to Jerome, to Glenn, to me, you have to see a little more. What you're telling me is you're afraid. You're not willing to take that chance.
Right.
But yep, we're going to keep this train rolling with or without you. We prefer to have you, but we can't sit still because you choose to sit still. And when somebody say they need to see more, you ask them what they need to see. You died the cross in order for you to believe it.
Guess what was going on when he said it?
What?
He was giving me some clothes for my homeless ministry.
but you need to see more. What do you need to see? So when somebody say, what I would say to you, Todd, is this right here. When someone says to me, I need to see more, what you want me to do? Lay on a cross and somebody nail me to it? Would that help?
Well, I can't really waste energy on that, because I know he's not where I'm at. And I want more. I want to be more for him to see. For I'm living for God. So it's okay if man doesn't see my heart and my spirit and my desire to be better and to draw closer to him. Anybody else got anything else they want to touch on that?
Yeah, I'm with y'all too. It's about action. Sometimes about action and what people see about you with that light. But what about verbally, a stranger? For example, I went to a grocery store one time and I told the lady, have a blessed day. And she's like, wow, nobody has ever told me that. Thank you. You are special. That's just something I tell people when I say have a blessed day. You never know what somebody can go through.
Amen.
Those little words to help somebody make it through the day. Can you be a light to a stranger just like that?
Right. Yes.
And that's good, Jonathan, to piggyback on what Jonathan and Rick were saying and Brother Robert. In my study guide, I ran across, it said, to be the light means, in times of darkness, you offer hope, encouragement, kindness, and compassion. And so when Jonathan told that lady to have a blessed day, it knocked her back, because she said no one has ever done that before. I said, a lot of times God unction us to do things, man. I don't know them people. You know what I'm saying? I don't know them. I don't know how they're going to take it. You know what I'm saying? We fight and resist all the unctions that we get inside of us. And it could help someone. It could never hurt them when you say God bless you. You know what I'm saying? But you can free them or take a load off something in some area. So, Brother Charles, you sitting on the edge of the cushion. I know you about to burst.
No, I'm just listening, man. But what you said earlier, the
when you were doing your homeless ministry and you were collecting clothes for the homeless, you were letting your light shine right then and there.
Right.
You just read said, let your good works and what you were doing, good work for God. Mm-hmm. And see, whenever I tell you, you got to show me more, to me, how can I tell you I need to see more from you? I can't see your heart. I can't judge your heart.
Right.
Because if you think about it, if you think about David, how David, the Bible said David was a man after God's own heart.
Right.
But yet, some of his actions would say, well, David need to show me more than what. But yet, God saw the actual heart of David. And when he saw the actual heart of David, he said, he told us David was a man after my own heart. So when somebody tell you they got to show you more, oh, man, oh. Just do your thing, go about your business.
Hey, I'm gonna pull a page out of the wrong book myself. I looked at that from the other side. I guess because when I'm talking to people about the ministry, you know what I'm saying, what I'm gonna do with the clothes and how it helps people. Mm-hmm. So I'm in another place spiritually that's not idle like I would normally, like I'm just sitting and reading. So I looked at that when he said that means he's close. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not offended by it. I wasn't offended by it. And to me, I heard him saying that he's close to reaching out. And not to me, not to me, but he's close. You know what I'm saying? When I'm hearing him saying I need to see more, I didn't take it personally. I heard that he's close to reaching out to someone. You know what I'm saying? Because he said he giving me 2-3 trash bags full of clothes. So ain't nothing he could say to me to offend me. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. And so it was the way he said it. He didn't say it offensively. He said it like almost like he's been thinking about he wanted to join church or stuff like that. I heard him like being really close to reaching out to someone or maybe even somebody even had planted a seed and maybe him seeing me doing this was part of watering into the next person. I didn't take it offensive at all.
Okay. No. Well, let me say this, because he said he watches the live feeds.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever that brother is that spoke to you about that, you don't need to see more. Just log on. This is me speaking to him. Nobody else. Log on so you can get more.
Right.
If you want more, log on so you can get more.
That's a good word, Rick. And see, for me to try to like. To really go deeper, and sometimes everybody is not where we at, and so even trying to explain grace and I'm gonna die tonight of myself and be born again tomorrow, and so that freaks some people out sometimes when you start talking like that. Hey, I want to see more of me. I want less of me and more of him.
Exactly.
More of him, but everybody don't get that. But anybody else want to touch that? Dirty Bird?
Man, Dirty Bird, unmute yourself and get in with us, man.
I'm going to pass on this one, but I'm listening right now.
Who you telling the violence tonight with the lollipop in your mouth?
You there too, huh? You, baby.
I got you with what Brother Jonathan said about when he told the young lady to be blessed. You have to remember, a lot of people are not used to people of color, like men, like telling them to be blessed. They used to being cussed out, being rude to and everything else. So when they see somebody like us, you know, being compassionate, showing mercy, you know, showing love, doing the things that godly men do, you know, it catch them off guard. And a lot of them smile back and say, thank you. But see, we doing that every day. This is not a problem. It's a come on. It's what we do. We do this every day. So I understand what you're saying, Brother John. They make you feel real good when they respond.
I'm going to tell y'all something you won't believe. I do. Todd, I umpire girls fast pitch softball.
Okay.
Called League Ball. Well, I had a team that came from Wagner Sally. Nothing but all white girls, all, and I'm talking country. And you these people look like, hey, only thing we believe in is mud digging and all that stuff. We don't associate with black people.
Hey.
So when they came on the field, they didn't know none of the rules. I walked over to the lady. I explained the rules to her, walked her through it and everything. I said, but before we start, we all need to pray together. And she looked at me. She said, pray? I said, yeah, I don't let nobody start a game on my field until we pray.
That's good.
And I did that.
Good.
It changed. You could tell it changed the dynamic from where she was tense to where she thought me. You would have thought me and her were best friends at that point.
That's good.
Because it was just that one little thing when I said let's pray that took her from defensive to offensive just that quick.
That's right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's good, Rick. That's
and
good.
That's what you mean by the light. It's right. It's yeah. One little thing that gives you that little glimpse of hope to where it changes the Amen. Dynamic.
Amen. Amen.
Paul gave us two. Well, he gave us several things we could do in that category of being a light. But I'm gonna go over two of them. Number one is we can live lives full of all goodness and righteousness and truth. A life of goodness and righteousness and truth begins with the things that we pour into our minds. And I mentioned that earlier. When we are spending time. And that's what I had got a little amped up the other week. but when we have a relationship with the Lord, he said we're covered everywhere. We're covered everywhere. Sure. Now if I'm feeling some temptations from the inside, now I gotta see what's going on with me. Because me going in certain areas, yeah, of course we can't put ourselves in harm's way. But I'm talking about strictly from being a light in an environment, like somewhere like that's love for me. That's home. You know what I'm saying? It's just it's everything for me. And so for me to go, like I think Brother Robert said, I'm the closest thing in terms of Christ, because a lot of people done wrote off church, right?
That's right.
Yeah. But they haven't wrote off Big Five, because to them I'm still Big Five, right? Mm-hmm. So we kind of. Stopgap. We like a stopgap, because if they done gave up on the church, they haven't necessarily gave up on the word. But if I'm that word to them, they can't get it if I stay in the closet or if I stay in my house and just fellowship around other believers. And that's the importance of being the light. I can't be around Brother Robin and Brother Josh and Charles and Rick and all them and be no light. They already gleam me.
That's good.
They gleam. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the light gotta be in a place, like Rick said, darkness. That environment that I'm talking about. Rick done been to the games. Jonathan grew up at the game. It definitely would be considered darkness. And so,
that's
and
for so sure.
Me being there with my changed life, which is very important. My life has changed, and it's only changed because of Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing else happened in my life, but I gave my life over to God.
Amen.
And so with being intentional about being the light, because I'll tell you, I speak it to my wife. When I go, man, I have dudes come up to me, man. They just happy to see me and just talk. I ain't preaching. I can't preach to nobody. I ain't judging. Man, if I judge somebody, I'm scared I get struck lightning out of my shoes.
That's right. That's
hey, right. Man, fire. He was over there. Fire. He gone. I'm the last person that could judge anybody.
That's right.
And to me, that's the beauty of it all. If he could change me, man, if that don't give nobody hope, it ain't no hope.
Well, I can say this. I remember that time me, you, and somebody went to Clemson. You remember that?
Yeah, see that.
And like you said, if he can change us,
he can change anybody.
Boy, let me tell you.
So think about it in terms of the light, right? Most of the people in our community know everybody, right? But they know everybody on different scales. Me and Rick and Jerome and Glenn were some of the most popular people, right?
Yeah.
And so it's real. Jesus is real when they look at us, because for us to not be them same dude, it can only be Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing. It ain't no Big Bang Theory. Ain't no rocks hit each other out of space. Yeah. And Rick quit jacking up people, and Bob quit throwing bats and fighting people. It wasn't nothing. It was the blood. That's true. Was nothing but the blood. It's so bad. Anybody want to jump in here?
I'm about to say, but we can't, as a man in this group, I'm speaking for myself, we can't be scared to slip, because I hear people say, oh, you in that man empowerment group, you can't do this, you can't do that. No, because God ain't done with me yet. It ain't about the man empowerment. God ain't done with me yet.
Right.
And all man. Of us is, man, he's not done with us. Man, we're still learning, you know?
I had two dudes call me the other week when Kirk Franklin thing popped, right? And he was like, man, I know you're living right, man. I know God been doing good things for you, man. So just tell me what you think. I said, man, don't want to do it. I said, hey, man, you don't want to know what I think. You call and bash Kirk. And I'm going to tell you now, I done read both of Kirk's books. Kirk might do 100 grand. And you want to, if you honestly think, because I have a relationship with Christ and my son get buck wild, and you think ain't no cuss word going to come out just because of you silly. I say you silly. And I mean, that's just the real, and we got to quit putting in boxes that they spend all their life in. They spend every single minute of the day in, but Kirk cussed on the phone with his son, and now he ain't no believer? I said, hey, I'm not having this conversation. I'm not. Yeah. Well, I'm not having it. I stand with Kirk 1,000%.
Well, Todd, you correct, because let's be real. It said clear in the Bible, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's what that's about.
No, I told him. That's his son. I'm a bill collector now. If it was a bill collector, I might be like, hey, Dr. Kirk, you hang up on the people. But my son, he did his business.
His son challenged him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As a father, biblically, he has a right to chastise him.
Yes. told the dude, okay. I said, hey, man, the cool thing about this relationship with Christ for me, I don't learn how to repent, and so my son and my daughter get out of pocket. Now, Josh, all the time. Big five right now. I'm gonna calm down. I'm gonna go in my quiet place after the smoke clear, and I'm gonna get right. I'm gonna make it right, because we have to make it right. But that's what most people don't, non-believers don't understand: repentance of a believer. We have to repent, Kurt. I'm sure Kurt repented. And if he repented, I'm rock and roll. We good to go. Son, shut your mouth. You know what I'm saying? Shut your mouth.
Kurt, you can count on that. He did that, but I don't see nothing wrong with what he did. I mean, I understand his frustration coming out in some use of profanity, but guess what? Nobody's perfect.
Hey, man, we had a basketball court at our church, and the kids all go shoot. We got a Jay Peters up here, for y'all know what Jay Peters is.
Yeah.
And so our routine, go to Jay Peters after church. I work security, and it was my Sunday to work, so Tiffany was going to get Caleb. So by the time I lock up and all that, it was going time to get the Jay Peters. I already got my order in my head, so I'm ready to rock and roll. And she done called him about 3 or 4 times. And I'm walking to the car, and she called him again, and he just started. Steph Curry, fall away 3. Before I know it, man, hey, if you don't get your my bad. Hey, listen, man, if you know me, I'm going to always be 100. Like, I'm not going to sit here and tell somebody that we don't, because my whole life, I've always spoke before I thought. Always. It wasn't like I planned to say it, but that's why I had to go repent. When I blessed the table, F.J. Peters, Lord, please bridle my tongue and cleanse my filthy mouth. and that's what we are called, and that's the charge. That's my charge. I slipped up, and I had to make it right. But I ain't going to let nobody call me on my phone and bash Kurt. No, sir. Bye.
Yeah. I've heard about Kirk, and I listened to myself. I wouldn't explain. Now, this is me. I wouldn't explain what Kirk did or didn't do. I just tell him and explain what grace and mercy is.
Right.
They said, we are under the grace of mercy. The Lord know we imperfect. He know we gonna make mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's why we have repentance. Mm-hmm. Now, I heard somebody ask earlier about going to the cross. I think it was brother asking when somebody go to the cross and lay down. I tell folks I'm not going. I'm not gonna go to the cross for you. Somebody already did that. And if you can't appreciate him going to the cross for your sins and mine, seven times 70 in one day that he told Peter to forgive. Hey, listen, I can accept that. Now, if you can't, then you got that problem. But I can accept it. But like you said, that's his son. And he need to chastise his son. And he did. Right. I love him, brother. I'm going to continue to love him. Nothing going to change. Yep. Nothing wrong.
Good point, brother. Yeah. Robert. Good point. Yeah. That number two thing that Paul suggested that we could do is test what is pleasing to the Lord. And that came from Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good and pleasing and perfect will of God. And that's going kind of back to what I was saying. To me, that was my whole argument the other week that I was fumbling over, is that if I can't go to the ball game in my hometown where my dad was raised without some issues with my salvation, then I got a whole reset. I got to do a reset. That says test. I mean, what they call that with the chicken fight in the car? Not that, but the test. If I'm around. If I'm at the ball game, I'm around, it'd be women there. For me, women has always been my struggle. So if I'm around and I'm feeling big fives over my shoulder, I need to go readjust my prayer life. I need to do a bunch of things differently in my walk. But guess what? If I never be in that environment, if I'm never in that environment, be in the light, judgment day come.
That's right.
God, you spent a lot of years in the dark. What have I been? I read. I've been reading. I got Tuesday nights. I got all this. I ain't gonna make it.
Sure.
Yeah, so you did a couple good things. What was the brother Robert, brother Charles? What was the church? Or the seven letters? Was it the church for Ephesus? The church that did almost everything right?
Yeah.
The seven letters that he wrote, one of the churches did everything right except
Laodicea, no. Thyatira.
I think it is.
They
did everything right except. I don't think they didn't live by his word, I think. Don't quote me. But they did. They was like the best church. And he wasn't pleased with them. And so that's kind of when I'm talking about this, that's why this is so important. The light, being the light is so important because it's a huge component. I actually think we need to start discussing it before we start talking about or in conjunction with discipleship. Because honestly, how effective of a disciple are you going to be if your light is not shining? How effective? Who gonna really come to you and say, "Hey, brother, I know I see you doing. I see you praying." Me and some brothers go to breakfast once a month on Saturdays to Eggs Up, and we pray and I bless the food. Man, the waitress and saying people was coming by and saying, like, it's so powerful to see some men, African American men. They said it, African American men holding hands at the table. You know how often, think about how often you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how often you've seen it individually. And so discipleship is huge, but we got to start talking about the effectiveness of discipleship, and being the light is a huge component of discipleship. Jumping that, Rick, I see you do the eye arched up like Billy D. Williams.
No, go ahead.
I got one for you. After we had talked about it a couple of weeks ago, I had started reading and studying up on Being the Light as well. And to me, this is just my thoughts, and y'all know I love y'all. I know y'all gonna correct me if I'm wrong. But Philippians 2:15-16 says that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. As to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. To me, that's almost saying that we're called to go into the darkness, to go back to our past, and, you know, go back to those places that we struggled in, to, I guess, in a way, test ourselves, to show our growth and show that that's not who we are no more. And that's how, you know, our light comes off to those closest to us who may know us better than most of the people on this call. I'm pretty sure nobody knows this watching knows me on this call, because I'm not from the same area as y'all. So it's easy to them to look at them and say, hey, you know, he on the call every Tuesday, and, you know, he got his head on straight with the guys I grew up with. It's almost, to me, that scripture saying that I have to go back to them and show them my light, show them how I've changed.
Right. Now, well, think about it. Let me just throw this in real quick, Rick.
Okay.
I'm talking about often, almost weekly. Sometimes I pray, you know how we get frustrated, things ain't going, we don't want to pray, but we push.
Yeah.
We push. And when I'm getting to that point, I say, God, why me in particular, right? So can I ask that question without really acknowledging where I came from? You know what I mean? Like, it gotta be some value in him picking me out and bringing me and molding me, and I'm continuously growing and glorifying the kingdom. For me to say that part of my life, that's for somebody else, man, I can't even make that make sense. Go ahead, Rick.
Well, you know, what Josh just said, it has a lot of validity to it. Mm-hmm. Because in order to know if you have truly grown, you have to once go back to the place you originated from.
Amen. Amen.
Either way you look at it, that's the measuring stick of your growth.
Mm-hmm.
Because if, like Todd, we grew up in Newberry County, where every Saturday, Sunday, it was baseball. Any other day of the week, if it ain't baseball, you had a basketball court somewhere. Mm-hmm. You doing something.
Right.
And we both know, Todd, there was a lot of cussing, a lot of everything going on.
Mm-hmm.
But in order for our light to shine, we have to go to the darkest place to see how bright we can truly shine.
Right. Let me ask this here. If everybody had the mindset of once we get plucked out of the batch,
yeah,
and we are the light, and we never go back, who's shining the light in that place?
Nobody, because it stays dark and dark.
Exactly. And my God loved every inch of this earth.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's been so heavy on me the last 2 weeks, man, since we really started talking about it, man. And I think it's such a powerful discussion, because I think a lot of times we get so caught up in scripture, we are loaded up on it.
Oh, but yeah.
If we ain't putting that lampstand on the hill, what are we really doing? What are we really doing? You know what I'm saying? I'm shining in front of my crew. I'm shining in front of the people I'm around. Our task is to go out. To go out and make disciples, right?
Right.
We gotta have some light, because you can't go out there and be grudgingly. You can't go out there because you're forced to do it. When you do it with that joy, that's when your light really shines.
Yes.
Like Charles Head was when we first logged on. Your light like just gleaming.
You know, like, what's funny?
Like a bowling ball.
What's funny about that? You go to a club. when you go to a club, they ain't got no lights on. They basically it's basically almost dark in there, and you can hear conversation, but it ain't the right conversation in the nightclub. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But let's try this. When you go into that club, unplug the speaker, what's the first thing they do? They cut the light on, then all of a sudden you start talking. So in order to affect change, you have to cut that light on.
Amen.
And the only way you can cut it on, you have to
put
it. Ain't no other way around.
Right. Yeah. I want to.
So I'm fine with going into the uncomfortable position. Todd, I applaud you for going back to playing baseball because that's one area they do need the light. I look at a lot of them posts they post on baseball on Facebook, and some of that stuff is crazy.
Right.
Need some light over there because it went from being a family fun oriented thing to what we the major leagues now.
Right.
And people cussing and carrying on and all that's not what it was about. Right. Every organization within the baseball Bush League we had, it was family oriented. Everybody believed in something. Because I think about it, had the people that played baseball, not all, but most of them was at church before they went to the baseball game.
Right.
I'm just trying to let
you know. I would want to.
Yeah, and now it went from we're gonna be there to where we'll get to the field about 45 minutes early, take a little BP, and we go ahead and get the game started. Right. They don't even talk about church. Church is church ain't even a second thought to these people.
Right.
And that's why honestly, I'm at a point I don't want to play baseball no more. But if I wanted to really affect change, that would be one of the ways I'd do.
Right.
Because you're right, Todd. We need to put more light in that situation in the area because it's completely dark now.
Right. Let me ask, I'm gonna go around. I got a couple of questions. Are we being light in our homes? If so, are there any challenges to it? Or is it things that you can recommend doing? Because this is something that can really help somebody. Dirty Bird, you want to touch that? You good.
You're going to come to me first, man.
Answer the question.
New Orleans Saints fan. but I got something for you The question was, all right, repeat the question one more time, bro.
Are we being the light in our homes? And if so, are there any challenges to that? Or if it's going well, is it anything you can recommend that can help us?
I'm gonna use my situation. And I'm gonna say right now it's 60-40. And I think the biggest thing was communication. When you jump, my biggest thing on my end was jumping the gun. And it's like what I told Rick, me, I'm military driven, so I had to learn how to drop that, bro. And that one kept me, that always been me. And so I would tell anybody, be the light in your home. You got to be willing to make, I see sacrifices. And that's one of the things that I learned, I would say, the last couple of weeks, especially after this trip, man. Sacrifices. Long drive, a whole lot of quiet conversations. So, I'm a light. I'm not shining as bright like I really want to be. So, man, it's still some work to be done. So, like I said, my biggest one was jumping the gun in communication. And you can't have that when you're trying to be the light. You gotta be willing to. What's the famous word I love? Price. You gotta be willing to make sacrifices.
Good answer. Brother Dakota, you got something on that?
Yeah, you were saying about setting an example, or first of all, ministry first starts in the home.
Amen.
Number one.
Amen.
Now, obviously, I don't know if y'all touched on that or not, because obviously I got in late, but that's the first place it's gonna start.
Mm-hmm.
In the home and whatnot. And with that being said, your lifestyle in the home will tell on you outside of the home. Amen. Meaning, if you're in the pulpit preaching or teaching and you're talking about love or taking care of your wife or taking care of your family or whatever, are you talking about displaying any type of affection, all you have to do is look at that spouse's and that children's face when you're up there talking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They say that'll tell it all because they know you better than anybody and whatnot. And see, I can't put on two faces. I can't be a loving man at the job and all of that type of stuff and be harmless as a dove, but I'm a rattlesnake at the house. See, because sooner or later, that's going to tell on you. You can't put up a facade like that for so long.
Right.
And whatnot. But see, you got to be a leader in your home. And like you said, there's challenges with that because the people in the home, they're used to you. They know you. Mm-hmm. You probably get more respect, like I said, because people at the job, because they only see you but for a few hours, at the church a couple of hours. But the people at home, they right. see you more than anybody at the house. And if any place where your faults can be on display can be at the house, you got to be the same way at church, on the job, in the street, the same way you are at home. You have to get, you still have to show all of that love and affection. You have to run your household. Hopefully, if you're married, that your wife is on board with that and she respects you as a man of God also and as a husband.
Mm-hmm.
But not see, because sometimes outside of the church, if you are the husband, and I guess I don't know, Pastor Glenn or anybody that's a pastor and whatnot, your wife, instead of calling you by your first name, has to call you by pastor and whatnot. I tell people when you meet, this is my husband, he's also my pastor and whatnot. But you have to set that example in the home. And like I said, you can have them challenges at home, but as long as your children are in line, like I told you, I was having issues with my son. He's much better now and whatnot, because I say children will embarrass your ministry a lot of times. How can I tell you how to take care of your children and mine acting a fool and whatnot like that? So, and that was one of the challenges I had some years ago coming up and whatnot, because it makes it almost look like it's hypocritical with your child off the chain and whatnot, and you're trying to tell somebody else how to at least give them some advice on what to do. But ministry starts in the home. You have to live by that word there. You have to practice what you preach. That's bottom line, in the home. And practically, you got a spouse that will pray with you and pray for you, and you have children that's in line, and that's a whole lot more easier when you go out there, when you go out in public and whatnot. But like I said, before you do anything, the home has to be straight. That's why when God says a man that says that he has to rule his household well, his wife and his children have to be in line. And it starts there. That's where your light shines at right there. It can't shine outside of the house. But yet it don't shine inside the house. It got to start there first.
Amen. Good answer, bro.
Hey,
good answer.
Right quick, I want to add something to what the coach said. The ministry starts in your heart, then it flows down to your hands.
I agree. Amen.
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 It got to be in your heart in order for your, if it's in your heart, it will carry throughout the house, and the house will then receive it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good job, Rick. Good job. Brother Donovan.
Yeah, like I said, my family, we're a God-fearing family, you know, but I'm the one, you know, I get up, go to church, do what I got to do, be on this call, go to Bible study, you know, and I don't force anything on my family, but they know, oh, Jonathan about to get on the call, Jonathan doing this, we pray before we eat, and all this, you know, I don't try to force anything on nobody. Right. But like you said, y'all said start at home, but what if that home was never even about following God?
Right.
You have to be your own, but like Rick says, in your heart. Sometimes it's in your heart. My fam, like my little brother seen me. I talk to them sometime. I talk with my mom. My mom check on me. My dad sings in the choir, you know, so we talk, and you know, I just try to be a light. Well, I ain't gonna say try to be a light, but I just do what I do by the Lord and keep my relationship strong with him, and maybe they'll see what I'm doing.
Good job, good job, good job, Brother John. That was good. That was good. Different perspective. Rick and Dakota kind of talking from a marital head of the household, and you talking from the other side, which is good because we need all different perspectives. Good job. Brother Charles.
Hey man, when you guys talk about that home, man, that's the kicking off point is home. Because I can go out and witness to people and tell people about Christ. And if my family members are struggling, if my family members are hellbound, what's my purpose? If I can't minister and love on my family, home. It started, like you guys said, it started, like Rick said, starts in the heart, and out of the heart produces love and Christ-like. Out of the heart produces that light into the home. And when you let that light shine at home, they gonna see that change within you. And at the same time, they gonna test that new Charles.
Right.
So if they at home, they used to the old Charles. And uh-huh. See, at home, they know all the buts.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Everybody got a butt.
And, come on.
And I have to allow them to see the Christ in me, and at the same time, allow them to see Dad or Charles as my husband. Whenever I do make a mistake, I own up to the mistake and try to learn and learn from that mistake and change and allow my family to see the change that's birthed from the inside of me. And I know Daddy used to do this. Now Daddy don't do that no more. And about last week with Jonathan, about raising your kids, man, that's a task. God enabled us to do it as fathers. Mm-hmm. Love on those kids. And I'm telling you that from last week, I had to go. I went back to my girls. Like I said last week, my girls are adults now. And I had to love. I wanted to love on them, and I loved on them. It was just like I had a new perspective on how to love my girls again.
Right.
And for me to love them again, I had to let my light shine from within, and that is within my home.
Right. Right. That's covered. That's covered.
I'll let my light shine tonight on top of my head. Yeah.
Good job, Mr. Clean. Good job, Brother Josh.
Man, I feel the same way that everybody else does. Just give y'all a quick little story on my growth. And I mean, it does start in the heart, and then it bleeds out into the home is where you got to start first. When I first started coming on here and trying to change, I'll never forget we had an incident where my daughter did something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but my son ain't liking it. He started in, well, I don't understand why you can't do this right. And he don't understand why you do that. Daddy jumped in, got him. Hey, look, you need to show your sister some grace because you ain't perfect. The same mistakes she make, you do the same thing. Two or three nights later, my wife did something I ain't like. I turn in my son and, hey, you know, I don't understand why you know, what's going on? Why can't you get this out of the eye? And she said, you know, I could tell you that you're being a hypocrite to your son right now because you coming at me the same way that he went at his sister that you admonished him about.
Right.
And that, talk about a soul punch. Man, that's when I really had to look and start doing some inner reflecting and making sure that I was cognizant of my growth in every minute of the day and everything that I do, because at the end of the day, we're not perfect. We always got to watch what we're doing and make sure that we're walking in that light and everything. And that was me. I would just stay vigilant in your growth. Pray every time that you feel like you're coming out of it. Like Glenn was talking about, I pray all day now, whether it's for myself, for my family. It's one of them crazy customers that we can deal with at the airport side, or you know, my crazy employees. The first thing I do before I react is I try to say a quick prayer and then acting in that light instead of acting in my flesh, because ain't nobody perfect. We all grown.
Amen. Right.
Good job, Brother Josh. Brother Robert. I'm interested, Brother Robert.
Brother Joba, the richest man in the Uz. Can you imagine how well he took care of his wife? Now, I asked the Lord for my gift for my wife. No doubt in my mind that he answered my prayers. So as a godly man, I have to do everything that the Lord expects me to do for my wife. And it amazes me how some folks can hit their wife and then go to sleep. I just threw that in there. That's just how crazy some men are. But everything that we need to take care of our families, and it's not all our families are not going to never get in line and do the things that we expect them to do. But if we, as godly men, provide and give them room to grow, then the Lord can use them. We have to always be on stage with the Lord, that we are doing what he told us to do. Love your wives.
Right.
No matter what. No matter what. Love them. And that's why I love the scripture that said, if a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. But that second part that says, and he obtaineth favor of the Lord. Mm-hmm. I always want the Lord's favor.
Amen. Oh. Amen.
So my wife is a special gift to me. She's the greatest thing that happened in my life. So, you know, I try my best to always never get upset. Things happen. Of course they do. But I go to the Lord first.
Amen.
So I don't get, you know, that angry attitude or get myself out of place of being ungodly. See, I got married in my later years. So I've been married now 11 years. So I waited good until the Lord decided to give me a wife. Then I went looking for one. And she was right there all the time. So I enjoy my married life. I love my wife dearly. And I'm gonna say this, and I know a lot of y'all don't understand, but I wish that one of our brothers would leave my wife alone, and he know who I'm talking to. So we're gonna talk about this after the session, that he keeps showing up everywhere.
All right, brother, that sounds like Jerry Springer. Somebody need to call Jerry. Warrior, both, but anyway, brother.
Hey, Todd. Todd.
What?
I want to say something to Josh, my man just got done speaking, Glenn, Charles.
Man, I'm here.
Not Glenn, Rick. What you guys just got done saying, man, I'm letting you guys know, man. You guys, all you gentlemen, all you married guys, get home with me. Y'all got me, how we say, thinking in that other zone right now where I really need to be. So I just want to tell all your brothers, man, thank you.
Well, wait, there's one. All right, here we go.
Amen, bro.
You know, when this thing, whenever you or whoever decides to take this walk in Christ, when it touches your heart and it permeates through your home, your wife will then follow suit as your children will then start following suit. Because Amen. Whatever you do, they feed off your momentum.
Amen.
Now, as you were saying, you said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, but a wife is more than just a wife. We get caught up on that title of a wife. If you are truly entwined with the woman you're with, that's your best friend.
Right.
You got to understand, that's your best friend. If you can go to Walmart like I do with my wife, and me and my wife will start arguing, playing in Walmart, and we have a cashier thinking we really finna fight each other, and we're not. That's when you have a fun thing, because your wife is supposed to be your best friend, your confidant, your shoulder to cry on. And more importantly, when you as a man are at your weakest moment, your wife is supposed to be there to build you up.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
So let's just not get stuck on the part about, you know, our wives, you know, that's wife find a good thing. A wife, she holds many titles as well.
Right.
And when we men in Christ get weak, because sometimes we do, believe it or not, she's the one there with the pom-poms cheering you on.
Right. All right. The virtuous woman.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Good job, Rick. Good job. But for me, being a light in my home, I had a situation. I get really busy. I get really busy, especially now that softball and baseball season. And about 6 months ago, my son told me that I'm really nice. He comes to the games with me. You know, I deal with people. I'm really good at dealing with people, talking to coaches and I spent a lot of times dealing with people, but they didn't see that here. And so one night he told me, he said, you really nice to those guys on Tuesday, but then it, if you're not feeling something, we don't get that. And man, it was such a humbling, experience to know, because they didn't necessarily, they know I'm putting the work in. They see me studying and they hear me talking to Charles. Yeah, Charles, they see us down the street talking an hour and a half, 2 hours or whatever. So they don't question the work that I'm doing, but they question the lack of delight that I produce in my home. And so for my son to bring that to my attention, it really made me take a self-inventory of what I'm doing with my life. Cause when he said it, it made me feel like I was making my life optional. And that's not, the light can't be optional. So it's a requirement for me to let my light shine in my home brighter than anywhere that I go. Yes. And so I have plans to take him with me when I go once a month to my homeless ministry, so he can get a greater understanding of who dad is and where my heart is. And so, since that day, man, I'm always really, that don't mean things not going to happen. Sometimes we just got to say something. We're put in a position that we're going to have to say the tough stuff sometimes. But even with that, I still have to say it with love, in love and with love. And up to that point, I wasn't necessarily doing that all the time. And so with my intention of being the light in my home, I have to do it. I have to do it. And it really made me be slow to speak. The word tells us that also. Be slow to speak.
Amen.
My heart not necessarily. My heart don't change when I pop. Boom, boom. My heart's still good. But they don't feel it when I pop. You know what I mean? My heart's still really good. But what? If you don't say that, I throw the... And I do that. I throw this whole remote at you. If you don't sit down, my heart didn't change. You know what I'm saying? My heart did not change for that second or two, but my light did.
Uh-huh.
I went from the glory of God, because they see me studying, they see me talking to you guys, they see me in Charles, they hear me talking to Greg, they hear me all this, but for 2 seconds. I put one of them, what they call it, a little red stroll light they used to have in the
face. Yeah, yeah. You became stroll like Charlie at that point.
Yeah. I put a little red light with the little Nefertiti picture on the wall. I went from giving God the glory, because that's my intention every day. I want God to get the glory for everything I do. But if it's one day or one moment in my home that my light is not shining, that's one moment too many. One moment too many.
Exactly.
Anybody got anything else before we do our shout out, man? Been a really strong night without some key guys that's been rolling with them, man. That's just a testament of you guys, man. You know, I wasn't worried at all, because they called. Just the fact that they called and let me know they weren't going to be on. I said, hey, I got these guys. We're going to be good. We good.
Hey, amen.
Anybody got nothing?
Yeah, I do.
Great, y'all.
You're not Big Five no more. You strobe like Charlie.
That's good,
y'all. Hey, I'm sorry about that, Todd. I should have said that.
Ain't no apologies necessary. I don't need to be Big Five no more ever on this side.
No, you don't need to be Big Five.
So like Charlie had a picture of Nefertiti on the wall now, so he wasn't much better than Big Five.
How about this? Instead of being a stroll like Charlie Big Five, how about be Super Five now?
Who that? Super Five?
There you go. Because you knew and improved now.
I'm just going to roll with Todd, and we're going to go with all.
Stroll like Charlie.
Dirty Bird, give me some shout-outs and takeaways from the night, man. It's been a really good night, man. Really good night. I'll mute yourself. And just like Matt Ryan, he can't even throw the ball 7 yards without throwing an interception.
Hey, tonight, great lesson, man. Great lesson, and some good, not some good advice, some great advice from all your brothers, man. I'm definitely gonna take heed in all of that. And man, y'all guys don't know, man. I look forward to every Tuesday night. And sorry about last Tuesday. I've been going through some things, and I was on the teleconference. But Todd, like I said, I got something for you. I just need your address. I need to mail something to you, bro.
Now, y'all don't understand how Kirk cussed his son out.
Hey, let it go. Let it go, Tom.
Okay, calls, buddy.
Don't let your light get dim. Don't let your light
get dim. Ain't forgot, but good job. You ain't got to mail me that. I got something to wash my car with anyway. Anyway, Brother Dakota, give me something.
God bless you, brothers, man. And enjoyed the little bit of time that I was on tonight about being a shining light, which is so true, amen. Just keep shining bright in your home, amen. Just like with Brother Rick was saying, amen. It starts in the heart. You got to have a heart for it. Just keep that light shining bright because we are the lights of this earth. We are the salt of the earth. Amen. And keep taking care of your household. Be a light in the home and be a light outside the home. Because remember, we are Jesus Christ ambassadors. We are the representatives. We are his mouthpiece. So just let your light, just let your light shine. Amen. God bless each and every last one of you. And I love you.
Amen. Love you, amen. Brother. Brother Jonathan.
I think, Todd, thank you for that word. I needed that tonight. And I thank this group for being the light in my life. Mm-hmm. Thank all of y'all, man. Appreciate all of y'all. God, and I know sometimes I can be honest, I'm scared to be the light. But like you say, God give his strongest battles to his strongest warrior. You know, big with a lot of power comes big responsibility. But as long as I just keep my relationship with God, keep on praying, pray for everybody around me, and just continue to let everything come from within, just keep praying, praising God, I'll be all right. And I thank God.
Amen. Amen, bro. Hey, just remember, this light that we're talking about, it does not belong to you.
Yeah.
It helps when I put it in that perspective.
Yeah, it did. Okay.
I don't want them to see, but so much. It's uncontrollable. It's uncontainable anyway. But once we realize it's not my life, then we just let it go and it do what it do is on its own. So good job. Good work.
No, I got you. Thank you for that.
Get all mushy and stuff.
Give me cool. Brother Chow.
He
said, man, like, he's waiting on that pork chop
sandwich. I got off track with the street like Charlie. I'm trying to get back to track. Hey, Doc, that was good, man.
that was Rick that started that. I just picked up on it.
I think of what you said a few minutes ago, Todd, about that light. The light is not our light. The only when we shine, reflection of God's glory on the inside of us.
Amen.
When we shine and we walk in that, we're walking in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that brings light to the world. But yet he uses us as an avenue, as a vessel of light to get that light to those dark.
Amen.
And you know, I was thinking, my home is like, this might be a terrible way to present this, is a practice field. I get it right at home. And sometimes I get it wrong. But when I get it wrong, I have to ask God to help me to understand how to love my family and how to allow this light to shine through me. And once I ask him to help me, it's his job, that's who he is, mold me and shape me so that when that light shines, he gets the glory. And that's the part about it. Not us. It's all he loves us. No matter how you come out. I mean, if you come out as a stroke like Charlie, Big Five, whoever, he still loves you.
Listen.
He still.
Good job, brother. I love you, man. Brother Josh.
Oh wow. I don't have any more takeaways from tonight, but just want to speak from the heart just to all the people out there who may be paying attention. Ever since I joined this group back in, I think August it was, I've got help with my marriage, with my family, with my kids, with my everyday life and with myself. This is not just a Bible discussion. This is a life discussion. You come on here and you pay attention and you really apply the things that we talk about on here to your life. It'll make for a better life for you.
Amen.
And I appreciate each and every one of y'all. I love y'all. And just I thank y'all for helping me with a lot and getting me out of a dark place that I was in when I first started. And I appreciate you.
Hey, man. Good job, bro. Love you too, man. Brother Robert.
Yes, sir. We let our light shine. And the thing is, man, God is awesome. He is the light. Yes. And if God is in you, you can't stop that light from shining. Right. Like Brother Jonathan said when they told the lady, have a blessed day. Word, if we open our mouth and the word of God come out, man, it touches folks' heart and it changes lives, just like it changed ours.
Amen.
We continue to let our light shine. Man, we're going to continue to change the world. I love you, brothers. Listen, I'll take my tablet everywhere I go because I got to be here on Tuesday night. So I love y'all. Man, listen, continue to let your light so shine that men cry out, I yield. What must I do to be saved?
Right.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Love you, brother. Yeah. Brother Rick.
Oh, man, I got to make this quick. All right. Back when I first started this, man, I ain't afraid to say it. I didn't have no light. And Todd, more than anybody, knew my fights and my struggles was well documented with my health. And I honestly thought my light was finna flick out. Then an epiphany happened. I was in the hospital bed, and I got on the Bible study from my hospital bed.
Yeah. Remember that? Yeah.
And from that moment, I knew then that I had something to offer and something to give. And I say that to say this, for anybody that's watching this live feed tonight, if you feeling that you have nothing to offer, nothing to give, don't think that way. Because even a little pebble makes a big wrinkle in water.
That's right.
Right.
It has to start somewhere. You have to, and if you feel like you can't talk to nobody, please pick up the phone, call Todd, reach out. You can send me a message. I got Rick Mendenhall at Facebook or Eric Mendenhall, either one. But talk to somebody because we don't want nobody to go without being an example of a life.
Man, amen. Good job, Rick. Good job, man. That was strong right there, man. Man, Brother Dakota, I'm gonna ask you the prayers out once I finish, man. Man, I was anticipating this so much. Man, Josh, we talked about it for about a week. Man, Josh that talked about the light in some capacity for about a week at work. And man, I'm so glad that everybody was receptive to it. I'm hopefully it shines another perspective on it. For me, my takeaway about this whole lesson, Jonathan kind of just sprung it when he said what he said last, is that we have to have a certain comfort level with being the light. You ever see people that you know or you feel like they good, they believers, but then when you see them around certain people, not everywhere, but around certain people, like, hey, man, what's up with my man? You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's because of the comfort level with the light. And like I said, once we understand that this light is not mine, it's God's. And I can't control it anyway, so all I can do is make myself uncomfortable. But once I get comfortable with letting the light shine, then it's what it is, and then we can touch people. Because a lot of times we get uncomfortable in places where God need the light. Hey, don't put it in no box now.
That's right.
You're over there to be a light, but you went over there and got behind the tree. I need you to stand out in the crowd. Standing out in the crowd is the light.
Amen.
You can be amongst a bunch of darkness, but that's what the light will. It illuminates darkness.
That's right.
So, man, this was really good tonight, man. All you guys brought so much energy and so much knowledge and so many nuggets, man. A lot of times I don't watch this right away. I generally watch it the next day, me and my wife, or the day 2 days later, but I'm gonna watch this in about another hour or so. I got a couple people inboxing me. See, you guys don't understand how y'all reaching people, man. I got dudes I got dudes that's inboxing me. Some of them ain't never been to church. I'm talking about a church. I'm talking about in their adult life. Because if you, most people done been took by someone.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about when you had a decision to get up and go to church, most haven't. Most haven't been to church as an adult. And so they'll say, hey, man, what's the guy, the older guy, his name, Brother Robert? Man, that was Brother Dakota. Everybody's saying something that different people relates to, and that's why us sharing our testimonies is so important, because it's different people relate to different nuggets, but they can only get it if we transparent about what we've been through.
That's right. That's
love
right.
You guys, Brother Dakota. Oh, ha. I'm so excited, man. Brother Jonathan is teaching next Tuesday, man. I can't.
Y'all pray for me. Y'all pray for me.
Yes, sir.
I can't even put it into words of how excited I am about it, man. He's grown so much. He's grown so much.
That's right.
Yeah, he wasn't he's always been a great guy. But I'm talking about when I say grown, I want to make clear that he's always been a great guy. But in the comfort level, being front and center, talking about the word of God, we all know that that's a different thing in itself. And right. So for him to be ready, the only thing that I hate is that I'm not going to be here. And so, Rick, I was gonna call Glenn, but Glenn's been working all day. I'm going to get with you either tomorrow, in the next day or two, Rick, so you can, I'll get you the information, because I don't want Tuesday night to not. Just because just one monkey don't stop a show.
Okay.
So I'll get with you, Rick, and get you the information, and then it's going to roll. If I get off early enough, I'm going to definitely be on. But anyway, Brother Dakota, take us home.
Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Yes. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the Zoom meeting on tonight. Thank you for the brothers that are online on tonight, God. Watch them over the brothers that are not online tonight. Keep them covered with your blood in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this awesome lesson, God. Father God, the songwriter says, let my light shine in Jesus' holy name. Let this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Father God, let us continue to be lights in our homes and everywhere that we go, Father God. You chose us for a reason, in the mighty name of Jesus. The word says, we didn't choose you. You chose us, Father God. You chose us to be lights in a dark world, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Let our light shine, God. Order our steps, Heavenly Father. Use us for your glory, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Bless the brother on next Tuesday, Heavenly Father, Lord, that bring an awesome message, Heavenly Father. Use them all week long, Heavenly Father. Drop nuggets in his heart all week long. Use them in a mighty way, God. And I know we're going to have a blessed time on next Tuesday, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father God, bless each and every one of us on tonight. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory, because you are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
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 What an awesome prayer, brother. Awesome prayer. Man, y'all have a blessed week. Until next Tuesday, man. Y'all be good. Share the gospel with somebody. Love you.
Love you.
Love y'all. Yeah. Bless you. Amen.